Hawker Beechcraft announces even more layoffs. Another Qantas A380 has engine trouble. And China moves toward its own space station. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, November 7th, 2011. Yet another round of layoffs has been announced by Hawker Beechcraft. In a letter released to HBC staff Friday, CEO Bill Boyster started the notification process that many feared would occur just a few days after HBC reported, quote, a decrease in revenues during the third quarter of 2011 as compared to the same quarter of 2010. However, the company realized an improvement to gross margin, operating loss, and a net loss for the third quarter of 2011 as compared to the same period of 2010, unquote. The company has not yet specified how many staffers will be let go, but did indicate that the decision will affect all aspects of the aerospace company's business. Boyster's letter notes that an expected market recovery has not happened. Quote, we know there is pent-up demand for our products, but major world regional economies are troubled. This is continuing to erode buyer confidence and hence demand for our products. It is my view that this condition, or some combination of it, will exist for quite some time in our business and general aviation sector, unquote. Read more of Boyster's statement in the text version of this story, dated November 5th, at aero-news.net. A Qantas A380 on a flight from London to Singapore was forced to divert to Dubai Friday after the plane developed a problem in one of its engines, 1 year to the day after the uncontained failure of an engine on another Qantas A380 grounded the airline's entire fleet of the Airbus Super Jumbos. The flight, with 258 people on board, landed safely in Dubai after an oil quantity defect was detected in one of the plane's four engines. A Qantas spokesman said engineers were dispatched to Dubai and passengers were rebooked to Singapore on other airlines. Reuters reports that Rolls-Royce, which makes the engines powering all Qantas A380s, is aware of the problem and offering technical assistance to the airline. Qantas says the problem is unrelated to last year's uncontained failure. Two Chinese spacecraft successfully docked in Earth orbit last week on Wednesday. This marks China's first step in an ambitious plan to build and man its own space station by 2020. The Shenzhou 8 spacecraft, launched last week, docked with a Tiangong 1 module, which had been launched last month. Shenzhou translates to divine vessel. The spacecraft is a variant of the capsule China developed for manned use in 2003. AFP reports that Xinhua News Agency says China plans more than 20 manned spaceflights over the next 10 years. China's first woman astronaut is among those currently in training. China was denied participation in the International Space Station, and so is going it alone. A bipartisan group of 23 senators has sent a letter to the administration opposing the new $100 per takeoff user fee for turbine aircraft proposed by the Obama administration. The November 2nd letter was sponsored by Senator Jerry Moran, a Kansas Republican, and was addressed to the Congressional Joint Select Committee on Deficit Reduction. That committee faces a looming deadline, November 23rd, for identifying $1.5 trillion in savings within the federal budget. The letter reads in part, quote, with 14 million Americans looking for work, our government's first priority should be to create an environment in which businesses can grow and hire additional workers. While we agree that the deficit must be reduced, increasing taxes on corporate jets and other GA aircraft will only further stifle economic recovery, unquote. This issue has put GA and the airlines in the odd position of agreeing on something. Up next on ANN, airliners will be crowded over the holidays. The EU thumbs its nose at carbon tax opponents. And if you're a line boy and a poet, this is for you. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're we're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, November 7th. I'm Paul Platt. With U.S. Airlines cutting still more capacity in 2011, this probably won't come as a big shock. If you're traveling over the coming holiday season, the Air Transport Association warns expect full planes. ATA predicts about 23.2 million air travelers will fly on U.S. carriers, domestic and international routes, during the 12-day period from Friday, November 18th through Tuesday, November 29th, the Thanksgiving holiday weekend, extended. That would be a 2% drop from last year. The 2011 forecast anticipates volumes 12% less than the same period in 2006. ATA Vice President and Chief Economist John Heinlich says that despite the reduced demand, quote, passengers still should expect full flights during the Thanksgiving holiday travel season as airlines have begun to reduce capacity and limit the number of seats available for sale due in part to rising cost pressures. Based on published airline schedules, these cuts are expected to continue through the winter, unquote. Based on sample data from 2009 and 10, the busiest air travel days for the period are expected to be Sunday, November 27th and Monday the 28th, followed by Friday the 18th, with load factors exceeding 85%. The European Union Thursday told all the nations protesting its proposed new carbon tax scheme it will not be deterred, and the plan will take effect in January. An ICAO white paper has warned of a potential trade war. The ICAO has strongly recommended that the EU exempt non-European carriers from the rules scheduled to go into effect at the first of the year. At issue is the plan to tax airlines for portions of flights which occur outside EU's geographical jurisdiction. EU Climate Action Commissioner Connie Hedegaard says, quote, Europe is delivering on its commitment to reduce emissions, and it's doing so in line with principles that the ICAO itself has endorsed. Our legislation clearly says that if a country outside the EU takes equivalent measures to reduce aviation emissions, all incoming flights from that country can be exempted from the EU system. We really look forward to plans from other states to reduce aviation emissions, unquote. The 26 nations opposing the scheme, including the U.S., are warning of a chaotic situation if other countries try to craft similar rules. The U.S. House of Representatives has passed a bill which would prohibit U.S. airlines from paying Europe's new tax. The first 747-8 freighter for Atlas Air Worldwide Holdings was delivered by Boeing on Thursday, the first of nine the carrier has on order. Atlas Air's 49% subsidiary, Global Supply Systems, will operate the new freighter for British Airways World Cargo through a five-year wet lease agreement. The planes will be used on long-haul routes to cargo hubs in Asia, Africa, India, and the United States. Boeing now reports about 600 commitments from airlines for a new, re-engined version of its venerable 737 single-aisle airliner, a project started to fight the runaway success of the more efficient Airbus A320neo, short for new engine option. Boeing Commercial Airplanes VP Randy Tinseth says the company is not ready to announce where the new plane will be built, and that there is no timetable for announcing the conversion of those commitments from airlines to firm orders. The current 737 is built in Renton, Washington, in a facility with two assembly lines. It's thought Boeing may be waiting to announce where the new 737 MAX, as it will be called, will be built until after the courts rule on the attempt by the Obama administration to close down the company's new non-union plant in South Carolina. And finally today, Senator Harry Reid, the Democrat from Nevada currently serving as Senate Majority Leader, has become infamous for a pork program which uses federal taxpayer dollars to subsidize an annual cowboy poetry festival in his state. The abuse has prompted Wes Olszewski to poke some fun in the November 4th issue of his Clyde Morris comic strip, which you can read on ANN. In Clyde's world, APU, the Airplane Pilots and Operators Association, itself a parody of an alphabet group, I'll let you guess which one, has decided to hold a line boy poetry festival in Las Vegas to become eligible for federal funding, but it has been told it needs actual poets to get any actual money. So those of us in the real world are being invited to submit original poems to Clyde Morris at yahoo.com. That's Clyde with a K. Wes says he'll use submissions in upcoming editions of the comic strip. I'm not a line boy, but I have pumped my own fuel at airports, so I think I'm qualified. You probably are too. Let's see what we can come up with. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves explains why changes in general aviation's safety culture will need help from changes in the regulations in order to improve our accident rate. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.